Well, I'm just going to give a wee introduction, really, into, you know, Jeff can carry on with. So this wee introduction is from the first letter of Paul to Timothy. So I just thought it'd be good to have a brief look at what the reason was, why the reason was for the letter to be written. Paul was in prison twice in Rome, and after the first prison sentence, he was released, and he travelled around a bit, and he was on his way to Macedonia. Is that Turkey or somewhere? Is it around Turkey area?
Greece.
Greece. So Greece. Is it Greece? Around Greece. Thank you. And so he's gone up his way up to Greece, and he's got a mate, a friend actually called Timothy, who he knew was his son in faith. You know, he's very precious to Paul, was Timothy, because he brought him to the Lord. And Timothy was a timid young man, and but he got prayed over and prophesied over, and he got gifts in his ministry, and which Paul recognized. And so he said to Timothy, look, I want you to stay here at Ephesus, in the church at Ephesus, because there were a few problems going on in that church, and they needed a bit of help, really, and a bit of direction in their worship of God, in their growing in grace. So the difficulties that they were having, there was people coming into the church then who were saying, oh, look, you know, what about angels? They're really interesting, aren't they? You know, there's different sort of legions of angels and all. And they were taking their eyes and trying to suss out all about angels. It's all quite interesting. But, you know, it's just talk about angels. I mean, you can know a lot about angels, and it's quite interesting, but not to make it into a doctrine. And then they were looking into genealogies, and they were chatting about genealogies. And they were looking into mythology as well, and they were chatting about mythology. And they were taking up all their time in chatting about things that weren't really important, you know, to their life in Jesus Christ, into the gospel and the good news that they have to receive the life of Jesus and to grow in him more. So Timothy was encouraged by Paul to go and, you know, share the life of Jesus and the truth of Jesus with them. So Paul, in this second chapter, started off firstly encouraging and showing Timothy the most urgent and the most important thing first off to look into, which is prayer. And the word urgent, urge, was quite a strong word. You know, I was just thinking about this and trying to think of examples, and two came to mind. One is quite interesting, the other one's a bit basic. But the first one is about, like, the Olympics, you know, and you've got the velodrome there, and you've got the track racing, and you've got the long jump and everything else. And they're going around, you know, they're doing all their business. And you have these people on the side, don't you, saying, come on, come on, you're great, you're doing really well, go faster, jump higher, jump longer, you know, do all that you can. And they're urging them on to do the best that they possibly can. And that's an urging sort of situation. The other one is a bit basic. I was trying to think, oh gosh, sometimes I want to go to the loo at night time and I'm all cosy and I don't want to go, but I've got this awful urge to want to go to the toilet. And, you know, so eventually you have to get out and go. So that's another sort of urge, but it's a bit basic on that one. Paul uses four words, all right, to share his thoughts about prayer. So you have requests, you have prayers, you have intercession, and then you have thanksgiving. And he said that these prayers are to be prayed for everyone. So there's no sort of privileged few. It's for everyone. For the Lord sends his rain on the just and the unjust. You know, he's a gracious and wonderful God. And so these prayers are for everyone. And particularly, he says, that we're to pray for kings and governments and those who are in authority. Particularly, I think this was very much close to the Christians' hearts, Paul and Timothy, and the other Christians in that world at that time, because most of them were under Roman rule. And some of the Christians were looked upon as sort of a threat, as like rebels in a way, because some of these Caesars, Nero and others, Domitian, say again? Domitian? Yeah, he was a right... But they sort of set themselves up as divine people. You know, they got all this authority, all these armies at their command. And so they looked on themselves as a divine person. And I know this Domiti bloke, he made these huge big statues, and they put them all around this sort of Roman Empire, so that people at certain times could actually bow down and say, he is their Lord, he is their God, he is the one that feeds them, he is the one who looks after them. And so the Christians didn't look on him as their God. He looked at them, Jesus is their Lord, Jesus is their provider, Jesus their protector, Jesus is the one that cares for them. So it put them in a very, very difficult position. And so Paul urged Timothy and others in that church, as same with us, to pray for where the governments and the authority, and we are to pray for that too. We really, really need to pray for our nations in this world, and we need to pray for our nations, especially for our government, particularly at this time. You know, dear old Theresa May doing her bit there, and Boris, you know, trying to get the old sort of things right. So they really, really do need our prayers, you know. So it's good advice, really good advice. The other word is requests. So requests can be interpreted as supplications. It's sort of like a serf in the, you know, like a serf in the old days, where they had to come to their lord and master if they sort of wanted to buy a plot of land or anything like that. You know, it's sort of that thing. But the difference is that we are coming to God as his child. You know, we request, we ask something from him. He is our Father. And it's like in that Matthew 1, 7, when Jesus said, I'll read it out really because I'll get it wrong otherwise. Jesus said in Matthew 7, you parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? No, you don't, do you? You want to give them the best things that they can for their lives. You know, so that's what a request is. You're asking your Heavenly Father, who is all-loving and all-knowing, what's going on in their lives. What can happen, you see, if we pray something and we ask God for something and he doesn't answer it, we can get all, oh, God, that's great, isn't it? What sort of God is that? Is there a God? Does he exist? You know, why is he answering this prayer? And the one thing with God is that he loves us. He loves us so much that he would not, his way of answering that prayer is to not answer that prayer in that sense, because he knows that that prayer would be a harm to us. It would be harmful to us if that prayer is answered, because he knows things that we don't know. And that's the answer at times. And the old enemy can come in and he can say, oh yeah, look what happened. Your God didn't answer that, did he? He brings in doubts. He brings in fears. He brings in questions. And that's how we can sort of start to slip away. But what happens is we need to come back to God and say, look, Lord, you didn't answer that prayer, but I trust in you. I know that you love me. I know that you love the situation I'm in. You know all about it. I trust you, Lord. I'm going to come anyway. You know, no matter what's happening in my life, whether I feel that I'm hearing you or answering my prayer or not, you are my Savior, and I'm going to come to you. And that delights him so much. That delights, it gives him such joy in his heart when he hears us coming to him, no matter what we feel like. That's our Father. He's just so wonderful. So, I'm not gabbling too much. The next word is prayers, all right? The prayers. The prayers that we are offering, they go through Jesus. Because Jesus Christ is always interceding before the Father for us. I mentioned earlier about the Olympic champions, how they are urged on in their sporting endeavours. Now, as all Olympic champions would say, as you heard them say, I expect I've heard them say, it's nothing, I can't do it on my own. I just can't do this on my own. I need this team around me. I need support. I need my coach. I need my friends. I need my family. I need to be loved all the time. I need to be guided. I need to be taught. It's something that they need support to continue on. And it's similar in our Christian lives. The Holy Spirit is given to us to support us, to help us, to love us, to teach us, to guide us. This is his work. This is so wonderful. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This is what he does. He leads us always to Jesus. There's a lovely verse in Romans, which I'll read out now. It's from the Living Bible. And I quite like the Living Bible. It brings it quite alive to us, really. And so it says, the Holy Spirit helps us with our daily problems. Praise God. And in our praying, the Holy Spirit helps us with our daily problems and in our praying. We don't even know what we should pray for or how to pray as we should. Now there's a really good word here. But. I like buts. But. The Holy Spirit prays for us with such feeling that it cannot be expressed in words. You know, sometimes when you love someone and you see a beautiful sunset or something like that, and your heart fills up, doesn't it? And you just can't say anything. You're just so full of love. Well, the Holy Spirit prays for us with such feeling that cannot be expressed in words. He fills. And he loves, and he endures, and he cares. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows, of course, what the Spirit is saying. Hallelujah. So the Spirit within us knows what is being said. So that's how he prays. And he pleads for us in harmony with God's will. So we're not on our own. He won't let us flounder. He supports and he prays for us all the time. That's me. Thank you.
Well, I don't really feel I need to say much more, to be honest. No, honestly. So if Paul was writing a letter to, not Timothy today, he'd write to Lynn, and he'd be wanting to say, I've heard. That you've begun, you know, to preach in congregations, and I want you to be encouraged by that. And that's what Paul would do. And we need to encourage those who are praying but taking on this ministry and being faithful to it, even though perhaps everything within you has said, no, I don't want to do this. Thank you for being, you know, obedient to that. I'm not going to say very much, really, apart from lead us into some prayers, because that's what we've been learning about today. The importance of prayer. And it's very important when we pray to be aware of what's going on in the world. And I know the news can drive you to distraction sometimes, but we need to pray with our eyes on the world and what's going on in the newspapers. What we heard from Sally this morning should build up in here, touch our hearts, and from that we begin to pray. And yes, we do need to pray for kings as well, and all sorts of leaders who have made it to those positions And they need to be prayed for to make the right decisions. Even though we may disagree fundamentally with where they are, we need to pray for them. Even Assad in Syria, we want him to hear God and to turn away from what he's doing. So prayer is essential. And if I was going to say anything else, and it's very quick, I chose from Timothy that actually God wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's our prayer. All people will come to a knowledge of the truth and realize that God actually quite likes us. And the only quote I was going to give you is this from Adrian Plass. If you've ever not read Adrian Plass, you need to get hold of it. It's a kind of a satirical look at the way we live our Christian lives sometimes, but it's really rather good. And he wrote something called The Sacred Diary of Adrian Plass, aged 37 and three quarters. And this is one of the entries that he wrote. He said, "I became a Christian when I was 16 years old, but it wasn't till I was 37 that I absorbed an essential truth. God is nice, and he likes me." People don't believe that. God is really rather nice, and he likes me. And he likes the people whom he has created. And that's essentially why Lynn has said what she said, I think, and what I was being led to continue with. So what we're going to do now, I think we're going to pray. So let's pray.